Breaking news now. We have obtained a new whistleblower complaint from a woman in Wayne County, Michigan. It lays out in detail what appears to be outright illegality that took place inside the TCF Center in downtown Detroit. The sworn affidavit signed by IT worker Melissa Carone exposes how ballots were scanned and counted, in some cases multiple times, how Republicans were pushed aside, cut out of the oversight process to which they are entitled, and even details of how ballots were illegally altered by other election workers. Part of her affidavit reads, quote, "I witnessed countless workers rescanning the batches without discarding them first, which resulted in ballots being counted 4 to 5 times. Joining us tonight with much more is the author of that sworn affidavit, Melissa Carone. She was contracted by Dominion Voting Services to offer technical support while votes were being counted in Detroit. David Kallman, who is Melissa's attorney, joins us here this evening. We welcome you both. And Melissa, I want to just say, first of all, my compliments to you for having the courage to step forward and to say exactly what you saw and to defend the integrity of our electoral process. And I want you to know I'm deeply grateful, and I'm sure all Americans are deeply grateful to you. Let me start with the most egregious part of what I read in your affidavit. Multiple counts of the same ballots. How did that happen?
So the workers are handed ballots in stacks of 50s. They are referred to as batches, and they run them through the tabulators. When the ballot has any kind of a mark on it, it'll stop. The tabulator will stop completely, and the computer will put up an error, and it'll say, you know, ballot number 25 has an error. And so the process would be to take ballot number 25, as well as all of the other ballots that had already went through the tabulator, off, put them back in a pile, put ballot number 25 on top of the stack, discard the whole batch, and rescan it.
And instead, they went through that process several times. Describe the night shift chaos that you described. Food vans apparently showing up, but not with food, but with ballots, apparently. Give us a sense of what happened there.
So I worked a 24-hour shift. I started at 6 a.m. and I got off at 6 a.m. The next day. So I started at 6 a.m. November 3rd, got off at 6 a.m. November 4th. So I was there during their day shift and their night shift. The city provides the workers with food for their shift. Well, they only had enough food for one-third of their workers.
Oh boy.
So that is the reason why they were claiming that these vans were brought in. But these vans did not have food taken out of them.
And the vans that showed up, they were supposed to be filled with food. What did they have in them? Do you know?
I never saw anything being brought out of the vans. I know that whatever was being brought out of the vans was being brought out of the back of the vans, but I was not allowed over in that area at all. But the vans were definitely not big enough to be carrying enough food for two-thirds of those workers.
Well, it's all very suspicious. It is very clear that you have witnessed highly irregular activities in that counting session. And David, I want to turn to you. How well protected is Melissa as a contractor for Dominion voting, the voting systems, and your role here?
Well, I'm the lead attorney with Great Lakes Justice Center. We filed the complaint on behalf of two voters and residents of Wayne County. Melissa is one of our witnesses who provided an affidavit, as well as many other people. We have affidavits from another whistleblower, Jesse Jacob, who is an employee of the city of Detroit, right. Worked in the election department. She delineates all kinds of fraud and problems she saw. And then also an attorney, Zachary Larson, who's a former Michigan Assistant Attorney General, worked under both Republican and Democrat administrations. And he saw many acts that were incredibly concerning to him. We got an affidavit just this afternoon, Lou, from Ruth Johnson, who is our former Secretary of State, who just left that position 2 years ago. And she reviewed our complaint and all the affidavits, and she recommended to the court, we had a hearing today at 3 o'clock, and she recommended to the court that the court intervene and take action to order an audit. Michigan now has a new constitutional provision that allows voters to request a results-oriented audit to ensure the accuracy and integrity of elections. So we're asking the court, and we did it today, we had about a two-hour hearing. The judge is going to rule at noon on Friday as to whether or not an injunction will issue to stop the certification of the votes, and then whether or not there will be a audit ordered, as well as a protective order to protect evidence so it's not destroyed. So that's what we asked for today. And Melissa's been very brave to come out with her affidavit as well as the others. You can go to our website, greatlakesjc.org, and you can see the complaint and all the affidavits and read it all for yourself.
Right. Great. Super. David, thank you very much. Melissa, as we go, I want to give you the last word. You work for Dominion. Did you complain to Dominion about what you were seeing, and what was their response? We have just about a minute.
I absolutely did. I confronted my boss, and he told me that he doesn't want to hear it. He didn't want to hear it. He said, it is not our job to be running their election. We are here to assist with IT.
Melissa Carone, again, our thanks for stepping forward. David Coleman, thank you. We appreciate you both joining us tonight to shed further light on what was going on in this country on election night, and a bit of what before and after looked like as well.
Basically, what most Americans don't understand is that voting is done by private companies. The elections are conducted by private companies under contract from the county. And we went in and started looking at these private companies and their software and their security, and we realized, first off, there are no security standards. So there are no national standards that any voting company needs to meet as far as the security on their software. And as a result of that, we then began to look, and we realized how easy it is to change votes. The software is so bad you can easily change the audit trail so that later you cannot even forensically go back and find out the votes that were changed. And that led us to a number of areas. One, we said, well, what happens to your vote after whatever the voting company locally does to it? What happens to it? Well, it turns out in the case of Texas and 28 other states, it all goes to a server in Frankfurt, Germany, which is owned by a Barcelona, Spain multinational, and that's who actually controls and reports your vote.
I got to jump in. So here in Texas, if you vote early, and so your vote is being stored, you think, safely somewhere, the data about all the votes in Texas and 27 other states, the early voting data, is actually being held in a server in Germany.
That is correct. And not only that, but in their process, and by a company called Seidel, and in their process, we can even see malware sitting there collecting all the credentials of all the county workers everywhere who are submitting information up, which means you can now go back into the county and change votes there too. So you don't just change it in Frankfurt, you can go back and even change it here. And the software is just that bad, and it is that insecure that someone with a reasonable knowledge of hacking could absolutely go in and change it. And we're seeing now the issue you were talking about with all the vote harvesting and absentee and early voting and mail-in voting. we're seeing what happens when software that is that bad gets out.
Welcome back. The election results in several battleground states continued to be under intense focus as allegations of voter fraud are being investigated. Trump campaign attorney and former federal prosecutor Sidney Powell joins me now with more. All right. Good evening, Sidney. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm sure you're very busy now. Can you give me some idea of what you're working on now and what exactly you are doing on the Trump in this effort to identify problems with the election?
I am working on the massive aspect of system-wide election fraud, definitely impacting the swing states and likely going far beyond that. We're talking about the alteration and changes in millions of votes, some being dumped that were for President Trump, some being flipped that were for President Trump, computers being overwritten to ignore signatures, all kinds of different means of manipulating the Dominion and Smartmatic software that, of course, we would not expect Dominion or Smartmatic to admit.
Well, and now that you mention it, they've denied that they have done anything improper, and they denied that this claim that there are 6,000 votes that went from President Trump to Biden had anything to do with their software. But at the same time, as you put together your case, Sidney, I assume that you are getting to the bottom of exactly what Dominion is, who started Dominion, how it can be manipulated, if it is manipulated at all, and what evidence do you have to prove this?
Oh, yes. We are collecting evidence through a fire hose as hundreds of American patriots across the country are stepping forward with what they know about this issue, including some people that are taking great risk to do it.
And as you do so, what is your intent here? If you can establish that there is corruption in the use of this software, this Dominion software, as you allege, and you say you have evidence, how do you put that together and prove that on election night or immediately after, that at the time that the votes were being either tabulated or put in, that we can prove that they were flipped?
There is statistical evidence. There is all kinds of mathematical evidence, essentially forensic evidence, math that cannot be disputed. We have eyewitnesses to different features of the machine. We have eyewitnesses to different aspects of the machine being uploaded with data when it was not supposed to be and never being certified. No state that had anything done to the machine prior to the election without a new certification is going to have to invalidate its votes. It's going to have to go to the state legislatures to be decided, Janine. And there's another thing. Democratic office holders have been raising issues with the Dominion machines for a long time, and the government has turned a blind eye to those. So there's also substantial reason for them to keep
just add
the government people to keep defending themselves.
Sidney, I believe that it's Elizabeth Warren, Amy Klobuchar, I was reading, and another senator that I don't remember, all had objections to Dominion because it was capable of being manipulated. Those are just two, and I know I read about three. Go ahead.
Yes, Carolyn Maloney, I think, was the first one, and she commissioned a report on it, which we happen to have a copy of. Notably, all the articles that she cited in the letter that she wrote, and I don't remember right now which government official she wrote it to, but all the articles she cited have been wiped from the internet in the last few days. And also, Lord Malik Brown's name has been taken off the website for the company that he runs through the UK and Canada that has a role in this. It's either Semantic or Smartmatic or the two. They're, one is a subsidiary of the other. It's all inextricably intertwined. The money creating it came out of Venezuela and Cuba. It was created for the express purpose of being able to alter votes and secure the reelection of Hugo Chavez and then Maduro. They've used it in Argentina. There is an American citizen who has exported it to other countries. And it is one huge, huge criminal conspiracy that should be investigated by military intelligence for its national security implications.
Yes, hopefully the Department of Justice, but who knows anymore. Sidney Powell, good luck on your mission. Thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Thank you, Judge Jeanine. And
Corey
people
Lewandowski-
who want to help can contribute to this defense at www.defendingtherepublic.org.
All right. Thank you, Sidney. All right. Corey Lewandowski still ahead, but next we check in with Congressman Doug Collins, who's been leading the Trump team recount effort in Georgia. He's got a lot to say. Pennsylvania's Secretary of State saying she will not order a recount in her state. This is the Trump campaign continues to fight there. Trump campaign senior advisor Corey Lewandowski joins me now. All right, Corey, first thing I want to ask you is how do you feel? You had COVID?
You know, Judge, I feel good. I feel strong. I had a little bit of a headache, but I think I'm on the other side of this thing. You know, I just took a couple vitamins, over-the-counter stuff, and I feel great.
I have a feeling there's not much that keeps you down. Anyway, today there was a huge rally in Washington for the president. And a lot of people out there with their Trump signs, and we can see it on the screen there, rallying for the president. I know the bikers are there. I just spoke to Chris Cox and Bikers for Trump, and it is a pretty special day. What say you about that?
Well, Judge, the great part was President Trump actually drove through that rally. If you saw that, he took the motorcade through it, and he, you know, just wanted to show everybody how thankful he was that they came out to support him. And look, when the Trump people come and rally, what happens at the end is the city will be cleaner than when it was when they got there. So the people of D.C. should be very thankful that the Trump supporters are there because they're probably cleaning up that filthy city.
All right, Corey, let's talk about the fact that I believe the day after the election, you were dispatched to Pennsylvania. I don't know if it was Philly, Pittsburgh. Where did you go? What did you see?
You know, Judge, I went with Pam Bondi to Philadelphia, to the large counting facility at the convention center, where we attempted to enter the convention center so we could watch the counting of the ballots that was going on at that time, 24 hours a day. We were summarily told we couldn't come in there. They had an armed guard that stopped us first. They had magnetometers and they had uniformed police officers who threatened to arrest us if we went in. So we stopped. We went. We got a court order. The Commonwealth Court of Pennsylvania issued us an order that allowed us to enter the facility and stand within 6 feet of all of the activities taking place inside there. I presented that order to both the chairman of the Board of Elections in the city of Pennsylvania, in the city of Philadelphia. I called the sheriff to enforce the order, the duly elected sheriff of Philadelphia County. He wouldn't even respond to our call, said he wasn't coming. And I also presented that same order that the judge issued to the deputy superintendent of the police department in the city of Philadelphia. And they said, you have no enforcement mechanism. And if you cross this line, we'll put you in jail. Judge, never in my life have I had a judge's order in my hand that was duly authorized by the judge that said I had the opportunity to do something and have the police still threaten to arrest me. As a former police officer, never would I ever have said to somebody who had a valid judge's order, I'm not going to enforce that order. And it was something that tells me there was clearly some shenanigans going on, or else they would have let us in per the judge's order, not threatened to arrest us, but they did everything possible to keep us away from the ballots that were counting. And only once they stopped counting ballots on Friday morning of last week did they then say, Mr. Lewandowski, you're welcome to enter and sit here and see nothing going on.
That is an incredible statement. And I believe that what is going on in Philadelphia as it relates to Pennsylvania and the lawsuits? I mean, did you sign an affidavit?
You know, Judge, what we know is that the courts ruled that the ballots that were coming in after 8 o'clock on election night, the close of the polls, have to be segregated out. This is the same statement that Judge Samuel Alito, the U.S. Supreme Court, made. Now, they say that they were going to segregate those out, but we have no way to know. Judge, the room that they're counting in Philadelphia is literally the size of a football field or bigger. It's a massive convention center. They had bike racks set up. So the closest we could get was about 12 feet away from the closest table and literally 60 to 80 yards away from the tables in the back of the room where they were counting. I approached the man who was in charge, one Mr. Bluestein, and I asked him why he wasn't following the judge's order that gave us permission to be anywhere we wanted. And he said, well, you know what? I'll take that under advisement. All of a sudden, Mr. Bluestein was going to take the judge's order under advisement to see if he had to comply with it. And what did they do? They then turned around and they appealed it to the state Supreme Court, who overruled the Commonwealth's judge and stayed the order. So they got their way, Judge, but they completely disregard the law.
Amazing. Corey Lewandowski, thanks so much. We'll be right back. My next guest is leading the Trump team recount effort in Georgia. So will the state go red despite officials there fighting every step? And what may be the outcome of the two runoff battles that could determine who controls the Senate? Georgia Congressman Doug Collins joins me now to discuss it all. All right. Good evening, Congressman. Thanks so much for being with us tonight. All right. So you're wearing two hats tonight. On the one hand, you are in charge of coordinating resources for the recount for the presidential team in Georgia. How's that going?
Well, it's going right now. We're having the recount being done, and that is counting every paper ballot, comparing it back to the machines. But I think there's also something we need to talk about here, though, as well. This is just one part of this effort, because we do have a problem down here, and you've mentioned it briefly before, and that is this consent decree down here that basically gutted our signature verification process and basically opened the door for potential fraud to be conducted. And this is something that we're still fighting to get answers on, at the same point as we're continuing to fight on the recount to make sure that every legal and vote was counted and every illegal vote was thrown out, and we're continuing to do that. So it's a long process, and we're still fighting for the president to make sure every legal vote counts.
Okay, so that is in fact the subject of a lawsuit where the Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger is sued in his capacity as Secretary of State by Lynn Wood. And it's a very interesting lawsuit that was filed yesterday, as I understand it, saying that Raffensperger, who's an avowed anti-Trumpist, agreed with Stacey Abrams to interfere with the ballots and how they're counted. That's my understanding. Maybe you could explain it more. When he didn't have that right as Secretary of State, that under the Constitution, Article 1, Section 4, only the legislature can change that. What exactly did he do?
What exactly happened was there were several lawsuits that had been brought after the 2018 election, and this was done this year in March when they signed this consent decree to dismiss with those suits getting ready for this next election cycle. Two things actually happened. Number one is it made it basically they limited it now to where you had to verify the signatures, but under the consent decree, it actually outlined the fact that any signature would do, meaning that the same person who would send in a request for a ballot could actually have that signature matched to the ballot that they received. That's actually not a verification that's actually useful in the long term, because if it doesn't match the original person's signature on the original registration to vote, then you've got
voter
a problem.
Roll.
But with this,
right.
It's just a problem. You go back to the whole thing. So this is the problem that it has. And then also we sent out for the first time ever in Georgia, we sent out a request for a ballot to every registered voter. There were some people who got more than one request. This was a problem that developed over time, but it also was one that is hampering efforts right now to make sure that those who requested the ballots were actually the people that needed to have it. We've asked for that from the Secretary of State, and we're still waiting for that.
Well, you know, what's amazing is that if I say that I want a ballot and a ballot is sent to me, they don't compare my signature with what's on the voter registration roll. So as long as the signature on the outside matches the inside, then it's okay, having nothing to do with the, if you're fraudulent, the real voter's signature. And then the inside is separated from the outside. So are they on the inside even signed? Is the ballot even signed, the one on the inside?
No, Judge, that's what even makes it even worse, because here in Georgia, we don't have a voter ID attached to a ballot. So once they're taken out of the envelopes, into the sack with everybody else. So, yeah, we've got a problem down here. Legislature's going to have to address. The courts are going to have to address. You talked about the lawsuit that was filed. That'll be something that's going to have to be dealt with as well. But in the meantime, we're still down here fighting to make sure that we have every legal vote counted.
Wow. And what about the Senate races? You know, the talk that people are going to move in and that, you know, they're going to pay for people to move, which, of course, is illegal. You can't pay people to vote in an election. I hope they understand that's criminal. What's going on down there?
Well, the leadership down here, the Attorney General and others, have put out notice that you cannot just move in here, that the intent basis in Georgia of moving here, it has to be permanent intent. In other words, you have to move down here with intent to be permanently resided in the state of Georgia. Look, this is just Democrats being Democrats. They know that these two Senate seats are the catch in this election. Schumer's already made it clear, but I'm going to tell you right now, Perdue and Loeffler need to be elected. Republicans need to keep these two seats because the alternative, Ossoff and Warnock, is ridiculous. So when you look at their views, Georgians are going to see through this. We're just going to have to fight through the Democratic clutter that's coming into the state of Georgia right now.
All right. Congressman Doug Collins, thanks so much for being with us tonight. And up next, Corey Lewandowski on the latest craziness in Pennsylvania and more. Back in a moment. The Democrats are criticizing us for questioning things that are very much a part of lawsuits, affidavits, where people are swearing that they're telling the truth. What are your thoughts on all this?
I don't think it matters whether you're Republican or Democrat. You should want every legal vote to count. You should want every recount to be finished. And you should want every legal challenge to be heard. Because we believe our elections should be fair, honest, and accurate. That is the only way you get it. I'll give you one small example. In New Jersey's 7th Congressional District, of course, the AP called it. What are we finding out now as they begin to count the ballots? Lo and behold, that may not be the case. The Republican may end up winning. Every pollster told us, from the president down 17 points in Wisconsin, to we losing the Senate, to we lose the state legislatures, to Republicans would lose 15 to 20 seats in the House. Not one Republican incumbent in the House lost, but 12 Democrats did. We didn't lose one state legislature. We actually gained 3, and we're holding the Senate. So, yes, let's make sure every legal vote is counted. Let them finish any recount and let every legal challenge be heard to make sure, especially in this year when we had ballots just mailed statewide with people, even if people didn't request it.
Well, you know, what's interesting is that, you know, they claimed there was going to be a blue wave and not a single Republican incumbent was defeated. That is amazing. But let's talk about what you have said, and that is that you say that this is a mandate against socialism. What do you mean by that?
It's definitely, it's a mandate against socialism because that's what the Democrats were. Take, for instance, Donna Shalala, the former Secretary of Health and Human Service, the Congresswoman down in Miami, a very Democrat seat. She was defeated. She called herself a socialist. You listen to what defund the cops. We won from Miami to New York to Minnesota to Oklahoma to California. Just last night, they called another seat in California for young Kim. And the uniqueness is how much stronger President Trump has made this party. Do you realize that every Democrat that has lost to date has been defeated by a Republican woman, a Republican minority, or a Republican veteran? We are more diverse and stronger because what President Trump has done. 2 seats in Miami, 2 seats right now, probably 4 in California. We are going to be somewhere in a very close perspective of almost winning the majority. It will be the smallest majority the Democrats have had since World War II.
And, you know, what's interesting is that you've got Nancy Pelosi, and she's certainly taking some pushback, you know, starting with the, you know, the ice cream in front of the $25,000 freezer or whatever it was, and all of the claims that she has made during the pandemic, you know, as she walks around without a mask. And but now she is confronted with a question as to whether or not she will continue to be speaker. Two things I want to ask. Number one, your thoughts on that. And number two, with fewer Democrats, does she have a higher risk of losing her speakership purely because she didn't win by as big a margin as she should have or might have?
Well, we'll have leadership races next week, and you'll hear that she'll win the leadership race. But that does not make her speaker. You have to have 218 votes on the floor. Last Congress, 15 Democrats voted against her. 10 of those Democrats are coming back to Congress. If 10 Democrats vote against her, she will not be Speaker. We will end up somewhere about 210 or further for the number of Republicans. So you know what could happen? She could lose as Speaker. But if she wins as Speaker, you had AOC and the progressive socialists actually grow. They are fighting among themselves, tweeting at one another, pictures staring at one another, saying it's a dumpster fire, screaming on their conference calls. I believe at the end of the day, the Republicans will run the floor because it'll be our ideas that are stronger, that the American public have rejected defunding the police, dismantling America. We believe we can rebuild and restore the American way.
Congressman Kevin McCarthy, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you, Judge.
All right. And Congressman Jim Jordan is next to continue.